Third wall breaks the fourth wall. Oh, look, another AI. Old man yells at clouds. These stories and much more in today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Before we get started, I wanted to take a moment to talk about a story on the MSP subreddit, RMSP. Many of you have already seen the story where an MSP owner was arrested on suspicion of murder. While the tragic event has garnered much discussion, the editorial staff of MSP Dispatch does not feel that this is a story that affects MSPs or their clients. As such, we will not be covering this story. Good morning and welcome to the April 18th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother. How are you doing? Amazing weekend. We're back into an awesome week. We're trying to catch up with all the things happening. So many things happening, and then sometimes nothing happening, and then everything's happening again. Had a great weekend with my family. My son, my eighth grade son, has his first girlfriend, which is kind of weird. We'll get to that.
Wow.
Yeah. And so what about you, man? Talk to me. There's a dad. I mean, what does that mean? Eighth grade, they're like, they haven't even held hands yet. And
I know what I was doing in eighth grade, and I do not want my son doing those things. Sometimes I wish I was blind. Speaking of Love is Blind, did you see this? Yeah, Tony's like, I have a segue into this. I got it, and I'm going to butcher it anyway and use my own. We are not elegant on this show, ladies and gentlemen. So Tony, and of course, I have my wife to thank for bringing this to my attention. Apparently, Netflix tried or attempted a second live stream this week, and their first was a Chris Rock special, and that was done successfully. It was streamed live. So they tried to stream the Love is Blind live event this weekend. Wow. Unfortunately, the live stream did not go so well. It was delayed. People could not get online. It got to the point where it was a running meme. So Netflix is posting on their Twitter, we're running 15 minutes late, we're running 30 minutes late. Wendy's responded. Frank's Red Hot responded. My favorite.
Okay, when Wendy's hamburgers, when they respond to anything, you just break out the can of ass whip, because that is like, they are whoever is running the Wendy's.
Oh, their roasting ability. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
But you know who is the best one? Blockbuster Video. Blockbuster Video says, remember when you used to be able to rent VHSs and watch them at home? So. Yeah. So it happens to the best of us. If you've ever read Netflix's architectural information from Cloudflare, they actually did publish like how they built out their network. It is nothing short of absolutely amazing. But I'll leave the MSPs to go find that. And let's you and me go searching for some stories.
Oh, let's get into the news, man.
In our top story, third wall WordPress site injection attack. 4 days ago, a user discovered some unusual behavior on thirdwall.com and shared their experience on Reddit. They noticed code injection into the site's HTML and reached out to thirdwall.com support, but did not receive a response. The user also cautioned others to not load the site unless sandboxed, as it may be unsafe. Replies from users varied from confirming this behavior to saying they received no alerts from ThreatLocker regarding this. ThreatLocker being the parent company that purchased ThirdWall last October. One user even asked ChatGPT to decode it, and according to the AI, the code appears to be trying to con users into enabling push notifications. ThreatLocker's response was, ThreatLocker acquired ThirdWall in November of last year and is still in the process of fully integrating ThirdWall systems with ThreatLocker systems. ThirdWall's website, a WordPress site hosted by a third party, enabled a plugin that attempted to load malicious JavaScript and was detected by ThreatLocker's op team late Thursday night, who immediately began to remediate the issue. Preliminary testing suggests this code tried to trick users into enabling push notifications in their browsers. As a precaution, ThreatLocker has taken the website offline and redirected the domain to ThreatLocker.com. Ops team is continuing to investigate the Third Wall website for vulnerabilities. The rest of the statement by Shane Dugan is posted in the link in the show notes below. Tony, this is an interesting one for a couple reasons. A, it's a property owned by a security company, ThreatLocker being a unicorn in our space, right? Over $1 billion valuation, who often touts they block everything, right? They block everything that could ever be blocked. It's also interesting. My interesting takeaway was one of the MSPs took the payload, put it in ChatGPT and said, tell me what this is. I love that because if you've ever looked at JavaScript in a website, it's usually minimized. It's usually like a whole bunch of junk, right? And being able to prettify it, I mean, there's plugins that do that and extensions, but the idea that they said, let me take this to ChatGPT, which honestly I would not have thought of, and kind of deobfuscated it, I thought was pretty pretty smart, pretty nimble thinking.
If you use the word deobfuscate and then say it's pretty smart with deobfuscate as the predecessor, yes, I think that's pretty smart. We're seeing all of these articles right now about, well, doctors that are referring to ChatGPT for references, that's very ill-advised. I completely disagree with you. I think the more brains, the better. And if you have something that's on the fly right there, ready to go, that validates what your instinct is as a doctor, what you're training, then you're going in the right direction. And that would be analogous to this particular MSP who, so let's just be blunt about this, MSPs, no matter how much you think you know, you don't know enough, and no matter how bad you think you are incredibly talented compared to everyone else out there that isn't an MSP. By putting that JavaScript into ChatGPT and having it confirm, calcify what your instincts were, there's something wrong, boom, you can act on it fast. And hopefully that was maybe going to save enough people to have it not do peripheral damages outside of what this particular topic is covering right now, as opposed to something else. Because of this WordPress plugin, now there's a supply chain management that's collapsing over here in this other part of the industry. But what I'm saying is that you've got a number of things that have happened there, and people were on the button, right, the way it should have been done. Here's my question. Other than the fact that it was Third Wall, and I could have sworn it said Fifth Wall when I was reading it, I put my glasses on.
don't scare Wes and Dustin.
I know we're calling Wes right now. I'm texting him, like, dude, what happened? So, here's my question: is it ThreatLocker's problem? I mean, it's kind of like, hey, just calling this out. There's a WordPress plugin that, you know, caused IBM to have some type of malicious activity for people using their website. Oh, IBM's horrible. It's a WordPress site plugin. It was a component of the company that was just purchased. They're trying to filter it out, and a WordPress site is literally the last thing they're going to look at. And if it's generating malicious code, at least they squashed it right away. And it was from, make no mistake, the help of the MSP community that's proliferating the messaging saying, hey, this is what's going on there. I don't know. I love what I'm seeing here. Basically, I'm trying to do the glasses half full.
Do they get a pass though? I mean, okay. So last November, per Shane Dugan's statement, when you take on a new MSP client, that first month, you're onboarding, you're taking assessment inventory of all the assets, you're making sure you have control, you're making sure they're patched, you're determining remediation policies should something need to happen. If I'm taking over a website, if I'm taking over a WordPress site, I'm going to make sure it's patched, updated, or at minimum, just kill it and redirect it. Like, that's what I would have done day one. You know what I want to hear? MSPs, go to the Discord, go to the comments, tell us what you would have done on the next one or on this. If you had taken over a client that had a couple WordPress sites, where does this rate? Give me a 1 through 10. Where does it rate on your priority list? But I will tell you what rates number 10 on Phil Buck's priority list, all the new AIs.
And in my first story, Amazon arrives fashionably late to the generative AI arms race, but with a really cool solution. From fastcompany.com, Amazon quietly announced Thursday that it would offer its AWS cloud customers the chance to leverage some of the most popular new generative AI models, including those developed by Anthropic LLM Conversations and Questions, AI21 Labs, LLM for translation, and Stability AI for image generation. The suite of foundational models is branded as Amazon Bedrock, and AWS gives customers access to the models via an application programming interface, an API for those out there who use them, never. Ray, I have a lot of questions for you here because I am simultaneously excited and I'm terrified. Before we get there though, way back in my past, I worked for a company called GTE MobileNet. Now, GTE MobileNet merged with Bell Atlantic and NYNEX to become what is now called Verizon. Verizon is not known for being behind the pack. Verizon's pretty much at the front on a variety of things. But back in the day, GTE MobileNet, we all called it internally, get there eventually. And it was fascinating how we let everyone else move forward and then we would get in the race. But they made a very pragmatic choice. It was weighed with factual, statistically relevant information, and the choices they made were highly effective, hence now Verizon. Is that what AWS is doing? Did they just wait it out for the let's say the dust to settle just a bit before jumping in? And then they aggregated not just a singular model, but multiple models, and that's what they're calling Bedrock. I mean, it's amazing. And then they're putting that in combination with Amazon, was that SageMaker Canvas? You've got all of your Lambda serverless architecture. You have what I consider to be such a complete and robust picture. Stacking AI onto this in the most effective way possible, is that just dangerous, or did they just take too long?
So I'm going to pull a Tony, and I'm going to mention one of your favorites, a much more recent example of what you're talking about. Not first to the table, because we have those examples, right? Microsoft Courier, probably the most notable example of first to the table, first to failure. I don't think OpenAI is at any risk of failure right now. But look at Apple. Apple's never first. They weren't the first with the App Store. They weren't the first with the bigger screen. They weren't the first to remove the headphone jack. They're not first for a lot of things, but their claim to fame is they do it better. They wait, they see, they innovate. And there's something to be said for that. I like this approach because Amazon, look, let's be honest, their Fire Phone was a joke. You know, the Fire tablets, there was a point where you could get like a 5-pack at like $20 each per tablet. And now like the most common article when you Google like Amazon Fire tablets is how to sideload just vanilla.
How to sideload stuff. Wait, but hold on. You know what's really funny is that you may have hit something right on the button because Apple did make a first attempt at something, the Newton. And they failed so miserably that they said, hey, we're not ready yet. And then what came from that? The iPad, the iPhone. Like they said, we're going to make it battle ready, battle tested. It is going to be across the board. The Newton was kind of, hey, this could be really cool. And no one likes it. Okay. Well,
and you can go back even further, right? So you got the Newton, then what came after the Palm Pilots? Came after that, right? I mean, Palm owned. I mean, they own the space forever. HP Compact came out. So there's something to be said for it, right? They learned the trio, the Palm trio. There's something to be said for waiting and coming in second with better tools. And how does this boil down to MSPs? Well, look at the MSP vendors. How many of them are dying to integrate AI in any way possible? Maybe the better play is wait to see what the most highest and most meaningful use is. And let's hear from the MSPs. Tell us in the comments, what's the most meaningful use to you? Where do you want to see AI in your tool sets? Do you want to see AI in your tool sets or in your news shows? Let us know.
Oh man, you know, everyone was just slapping, we'll put ChatGPT on this and that and there, and we'll put more ChatGPT. We don't even know why it's there. We just say it has ChatGPT in it. You can't really put it in anywhere, but I'm certain somewhere you could access ChatGPT. It's got AI. That's all we care about.
Oh, yeah.
It's
better now. As long as your AI has got AI in it, you're
good. You know what? I put powdered milk in my milk to get more milk out of my milk. Anyway, let's go on to the next story.
And our third top story, is there really a march from public cloud back to on-prem? Written by Ron Miller for TechCrunch. With the growth of cloud computing, many companies moved to the cloud, thinking it would bring about cost savings. However, the reality is that more workloads get moved to the cloud, the more expensive it gets. As a result, companies are now seeking ways to reduce the budgetary impact of operating in the cloud. One option is to repatriate workloads back to on-premises. But there are questions about the agility of the public cloud, which has always been its primary value proposition. While the cloud infrastructure market is substantial, it's slowing down due to economic uncertainties, and customers are cutting back on their public cloud usage. It's worth noting that repatriation doesn't necessarily mean running one's own servers. Rather, it involves moving a workload from a public cloud to a private one in a managed colocation facility. Despite potential benefits of repatriation, industry insiders report that it's not a trend and is not very common. Instead, companies are adopting a hybrid and multi-cloud strategy that involves using at least two cloud service providers for different workloads. For workloads where the cloud isn't appropriate, companies still consider an on-premises infrastructure, but in a managed colocation facility. Tony, you and I both have extensive experience running clouds, you know, both with public and private clouds. My own voice infrastructure is not on AWS GCS. It's on a private cloud. But we have DevOps and we have OSS, BSS that is running in AWS and Azure. And so we've been that distributed multi-cloud operation for quite some time. And I see that as you get more and more savvy, seeing where Azure is better, GCS is better, AWS is better, or maybe a Linode or a DigitalOcean or even a private colo and a hosting provider. It comes with the times, right? You use the right tool for the right job, right?
It really depends on what you know. Let me share an example that I brought up out of complete coincidence. Talked to a group of kids, and then we had some adults, and some of the adults were pretty successful. And we were talking about the cloud concept, and I said, how many of you store cash, and not a small amount, cash at your home, hide it away? A few of the pretty successful people raised their hands, like they just kind of made a notation. One of the kids went, I don't know if any gave a small amount, but for him it was a lot. And there was a couple of in the middle, but the younger kids, not at all. They put everything in bank. And I said, you are using cloud. That's what you're doing. You're all doing that. However, the more you use it, the more you start to realize there's certain things you could just do better. You like when you can feel it, touch it. You just do it better yourself. And you have it hidden, not just in your mattress, but you have it hidden in your mattress, which is crammed into a safe, which is locked under a ditch underneath your pool with a secret entrance with death traps walking in. Because you understand the stuff backwards and forwards. Now, the less, let's say, an interaction that you have with, in this case, money, the more likely you're just to put it in the cloud. Just be done with it. Just be done with it. Let them do what they do. But the more interaction you have with something, you're going to start to realize that you can do things better. And in fact, you're going to start to realize that maybe there's things that you're doing that can be balanced between you and the cloud. So now you're getting the best of both worlds. And it seemed to resonate with them because everyone had cash in some capacity at home and in the bank. And you could see a visual representation. There's about eight of us there of, you know, the people had a lot of money. They said, yeah, we keep a lot stored away at the house. You keep a lot in the bank, majority in the bank, but there's large volumes in the house because they like that balancing feel. I think that's kind of where things are going to start to go, where you're going to do the, I don't want to say mundane, because they're becoming more and more complicated, but the mundane everyday tasks are going to be more cloud centric. There's going to be a little bit of hybrid activity, and then there's going to be some specialty activity that's going to be in-house because no one does it better than you. Just my opinion. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree 100% with you. My own personal life, my personal finances are in multiple banks. My business finances are in multiple banks. All my investments are not in the same place. It's where you're going to get the most bang for the buck or the most value or whatever you need to do. I know that if I put it in certain online financial institutions, it's going to be a little more of a headache getting those funds released when I need them. And, you know, there's some other financials where I know I can go to Bank of America or Chase or any of the bigger banks. I can do absolutely anything online with zero involvement from anybody else. I don't need to worry about it. If I need to wire $50,000, it's done. And so, you know, you hedge your bets and you make use of the tools available. I think that as cloud practitioners, MSPs become more adept cloud practitioners, they're going to start doing this. And it makes a lot of sense. Again, tell us in the comments, tell us in Discord. We want to continue this conversation, but we're at time. But for now, let's get into the notables. In my first notable mention, Elon Musk founds new AI company called xAI, written by Jay Peters and Emma Roth for The Verge. Elon Musk has founded a new company called x.AI, dedicated to artificial intelligence. According to a Nevada filing, Musk is the director of the company and Jared Bershall, the director of Musk's family office, is listed as his secretary. Musk reportedly bought thousands of GPUs for an upcoming AI product and sought funding from SpaceX and Tesla investors to start the company. The name of the company matches his X branding, which he also uses for his vision of an everything app. Elon Musk, who co-founded OpenAI in 2015, walked away from the AI organization in 2018 and has been openly opposing it. In my second notable mention, Android malware infiltrates 60 Google Play apps with 100 million installs, written by Bill Tulis for Beeping Computer. A new Android malware named Goldison has infiltrated Google Play through 60 legitimate apps with a collective 100 million downloads. The malware can collect data on installed apps, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connected devices, GPS locations, and perform ad fraud by clicking ads in the background without the user's consent. McAfee's research team discovered the malware, and Google has taken the appropriate action by notifying the developers that their apps violated Google Play policies. Users who installed an impacted app can remediate the risk by applying the latest available update.
And my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Google has released an emergency update for its Chrome browser to address a zero-day vulnerability that has been actively exploited in the wild. Designated CVE-2023-16089, this security flaw affects Chrome's JavaScript engine V8. Google has not disclosed details about the attacks leveraging this vulnerability to avoid further exploitation while users update their browsers. Chrome users are urged to update to the latest version 99.0.4844.84 as soon as possible to protect themselves from cyber attacks. Please, please, please update your Chrome browsers now. Thank you. And my next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft has shared a fix for Outlook issues that have been preventing users from accessing their emails. The problem, which affected Outlook for Microsoft 365, caused users to encounter an error message stating, quote, "something went wrong and we couldn't set up your account." Microsoft acknowledged the problem and promptly provided a workaround advising users to set up Outlook in a new window user profile or repair their Office installation. The company is actively investigating the root cause of the issue to develop a permanent solution. Again, Outlook users affected by this issue may have problems when trying to perform one of these actions: add or access the group mailbox, add or access a group calendar, add or remove or edit group members.
In our resource of the week, Channel Pro 2023 State of the Channel Report, posted on channelpronetwork.com. The Channel Pro 2023 State of the Channel survey is out. The report indicates 87% of IT solution providers, managed service providers, and VARs believe their revenues will remain stable to improve in 2023, with 86% expecting the same for profits. More data can be found in the link in the show notes.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. April 19th through the 20th, an in-person event, ASCII MSP Success Summit in Dallas, Texas. Also from the 19th through the 20th, another in-person event, SaaS Connect in San Francisco, California. And on April 20th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Channel All-Stars presented by The Channel Program. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have on April 19th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, AI Roundup Episode 7. Also on the 19th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Partner First, The Hidden Costs of Inattention, Protecting Your Tools and Your Business. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail 833 MSP Network. Tony, I was holding back on showing this to you, but remember we were talking about the X360.
Oh man, now I got to go on Amazon. Listen, do you understand that my wife bans me from Amazon because of you? It's like it's a Ray-Ban. Ray-Ban, get it? I'm so glad.
I'm sorry, Kelly. Yeah, and this is the powered selfie stick. Okay, so seriously speaking, and I got to give this to Josh in our Discord, frequent commenter on the YouTubes. Josh, he goes, after watching you for this many months, I have a pretty good idea of what toys you'll buy and what you won't.
And no, I think he'll buy all of it. All of it. You don't understand. You guys don't see what's happening in the back room. I'm like, no, but I got what you got. Oh yeah, here's the three different versions that came before that, and here's the new version that hasn't been released yet to the public. But
like, okay, but I will leave you with the coolest thing that if you don't go running out and buying it, I don't know what you're doing with life. But hold on, where is this thing? Here we go. So this thing is not. It's not a thing for. Yeah, the thing with the assassins. No, there's a name for it. I know it starts with G. I just can't remember it. So what this does is it has a quarter 20 mount on it. You actually put the camera on here, and then you spin it like this. And what it does is it does bullet time shots, just like from The Matrix, swinging the camera around. Yes.
Why would you tell me this?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, just because I know you and I will be at MSP GeekCon, so I know we'll be having a lot of fun.
Okay, and our next story at MSP GeekCon, three people passed away from Tony swinging around this bullet cam. Apparently, it is as fast as a bullet. And
But it got caught in 4K 60, so win. And I think with that thought, that's the best way to close the episode. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
And in our last top story, is there really a march from the public cloud back to on-prem? Written by Mark. The guy's not named Mark. It's not anywhere in there. All right. In our resource of the week, Channel Pro 2023 State of...